We are extremely excited to announce that we have a sponsor. So this episode of Friendly Banter is brought to you by twoguyswithballs.com. Twoguyswithballs.com is the absolute best place to do your online premium used golf ball shopping. They have everything from Titleist to Top Flight, and they also have incredibly helpful guides and like a scaling system so that you can really know exactly what you're buying based off of the way that they grade golf balls. And you won't find a better place to do some of that online shopping, especially when you shank a few in the water or in the woods and you need to reload. Go to twoguyswithballs.com. Use the promo code BANTY for 10% off.
Oh, necked it.
Actually, I think it's a kick forwards into the right.
That intentional runner, it's going to get there. Oh, excuse me. Look at this one.
This could be close. This could be really close.
Good evening, everybody. Today is Wednesday, January 17th. You're probably not listening to this until Thursday, January 18th, but it is your host, TJ Tom Hawley, back on the Friendly Banter podcast, joined, of course, by Andrew Winter. Andrew, much worse weather here in New York than I'm sure what you're dealing with. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I think it's about 60 degrees and sunny here in Berkeley, California. So yeah, escaping the winter from New York City, and I'm pretty happy about it.
Absolutely. And we have a great one to hopefully keep our Northeastern folks warmer here today. You and Billy were able to speak with Lou Altman, very, very good friend of the program, yesterday. Kick it right to you. What should we be looking out for that in that interview?
Yeah, we'll plug the episode in at the end of the episode, sort of the back half. But Lulu's a good friend of ours. We met her about a year ago when we were actually debuting Banty at the PGA show in Orlando. And she had like come across us in one of the like pamphlets and was like, oh my God, this looks incredible. I have to get involved. So she's been both like one of our ambassadors for the past year, as well as just like someone we've been able to reach out to with, whether like we need help with something, whether, you know, she knows someone that we're trying to talk to, or just like in general, she's been able to be super helpful with getting the app out there and giving us feedback on kind of like what she thinks will work for Banty. And like, I think she's, you know, an incredible golfer. She plays on the Ladies European Tour, has basically been all over the globe playing competitively. So she sort of walks us through her story with golf and what she's up to now. And yeah, it's a great conversation. So I think awesome. You guys will love that.
Very much looking forward to that myself. I will be able to check that out for the first time. Had an unfortunate basketball game yesterday, so couldn't get into joining. But
I saw this on a Twitter. Give us the stat line.
Yeah, this is going to be part of the data tracking that I've promised for the rest of this year. 2 points, 8 boards, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks, only 1 foul. All numbers that we were really working. 6 assists as well. All numbers we were really focused on. Coming in to this season, manager on my team, who's our best player, said, I don't need you to score. It's a co-ed league. Like, we're not looking for you to drive the lane. Just get a few rebound putbacks, move the ball out of your hands as quick as possible, and you know, guard the low post. And no offense to Euclid Insurance, not the strongest basketball team I've ever seen, but a good way to start the season. And I'm sure we'll be
weekly
data tracking tweets to come.
Yeah, what league is this?
It's out of Chelsea Piers. It's the Zog Sports. It's like one of those.
Oh yeah, yeah.
New York City Chelsea leagues. They do a bunch of stuff. There's like a soccer league going on at the same time. The league we played in last year was terrible. We played the same team three times. We ended up hating them, like Catholic school gyms in the East Village, like awful, awful places. So it's obviously impossible to get to Chelsea Piers. Not obviously. I'm not sure how many people know that. There's no infrastructure nearby, but should be a much better run organization.
Yeah. Where are you slotting in? Are you a small forward?
I don't even know. Sometimes I'm in at center. I didn't take the tip. This girl on my team really wanted to take the tip. She's about 4 inches shorter than me, but she was like, I want to do it. And
did she win it?
No. Well, I mean, got smoked. She was up against a guy who was like 6'5". And I was like, fine by me. Cause if I lose, like that looks bad. If you lose, it's like, whatever. Right. Usually I'll jump in the center role, but more like a power forward. We're not a very tall team. We're not a very physically imposing team, but we played really well last night. So hopefully that keeps going. Speaking of some people that have played really well of late, we do have a few things to cover before we get into that interview. We had a pretty big week in golf, both on this side of the pond and in the Mideast. And then we'll get into some football as well before we kick it to the interview. Grayson Sigg, really exciting tournament. The Sony has produced some good moments in the last few years. Obviously, no exception this year with a bomb and a playoff to take home a win.
Yeah, hand up. I didn't get to watch too much. I mostly sort of caught up on Sunday and caught a bunch of the highlights, including that mega bomb he dropped to win that playoff. But yeah, it was a good win. I think it is a cool tournament. I feel like I didn't expect him to win. His odds were insane. I know
people were posting. His odds were very good.
50,000 to one.
Yeah, it was something so, that absurd.
Yeah, if anyone had that ticket, send us a screenshot because that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that'd be a nice day.
But yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, you are not alone with you know, watching other things on that Sunday afternoon, obviously playoff football, but
yeah,
egregious TIO that I think has to be discussed. Really no other sport in the world can you do anything like that? Mr. Wong, Carl, is that his last name? Yeah, Mr. Wong got away with, or Wong, I don't know, I believe it's Carl. yeah, it is. Okay, I mean, for those who haven't seen the clip, I'm not sure how many sickos out there haven't at this point, but probably 60 yards right of the green, like beyond the grandstands, miss, like not anywhere close to what should be considered in play. Gets a very nice TIO drop, able to get himself into the playoff with a par save. If you look up on the PGA Tour website, it's no mention of that. It's just like Carl Wong saves par on the 72nd hole after losing ball intent. Like maybe the headline should be like Carl Wong gets egregious break to get into playoff. Whatever. Yeah, he didn't win.
To watch this year, because I think it's just people are paying attention to it, and like the grandstands are one thing if you like hit into an obstruction that is there for the fans, but like the grandstanding of actually like using it as a backboard or somehow like considering it an obstruction after you just hit a shitty shot and getting to like drop it next to the green is that's bullshit. So
yeah, people are very aware of it at this point, which I'm glad to see. I know TC was throwing out some shots from no laying up and really getting people active. Always good to see. Less disappointing than Rory, probably not. I know that was a pretty I slept great this weekend. I was in bed at 9:30 on Saturday night, which means I woke up at like 6:30 on Sunday morning, just in time to catch those tweets and catch the end of the Dubai tournament. Unreal stuff from the King.
Yeah, unreal. I mean, yeah, speaking of not watching, I mean, something happening in Dubai when I'm on the West Coast here, like no chance I'm tuning in, but yeah, awesome to wake up to. Speaking of TC, Tommy Fleetwood dropping that right on Rory's face.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think those are like two of my favorite golfers in the world. So yeah. I'm sort of happy to see that go either way.
Yeah. I will say, I don't know if it's like people are asking, like, is this a good, is what we're seeing from Rory a good sign or a bad sign? I'll put my hat in the bad side ring. I think what we saw last week is a precursor of more to come in the rest of the year. Like, you know, those memes where you see a tweet and it's like, you'll never believe how this tweet ends, or you'll never believe how this video ends. And then the European Tour posted a video of him hitting that absolute dart into the par three to 4 feet. And right. They should have been like, you will never guess how this hole ends. I think we're going to see that kind of moment, like 36 putts, unable to make a single birdie on Sunday at the US Open, 3-putt from 4 feet when you do everything else perfectly. Like,
yeah,
I'm really starting to get that eternal sense of dread from Rory.
Yeah. When was the last time you saw Rory make like a really emotionally like charged putt?
Like Hazeltine, just, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, it's been a long time. That's what I feel like has been true for him now for a few years. It's like, I mean, it's different than Scotty, but I imagine probably similar, like just ball striking king.
Yeah.
And then just not clutch at all on the greens.
It's different from Scotty because, like, Scotty's just a bad putter right now. Like, Scotty is just not scaring the hole in any way, and I don't expect it. Like, Rory is barely missing, where it feels like if there's two ways a ball could roll, his is going to roll the wrong way. Scotty, I'm pretty sure, like, he's going to miss by a cup. So that's kind of where we stand. And I don't know what's worse. I think Rory's scenario is probably worse.
It might be more frustrating, but it has to mean that it's just like he's due, right? Like, it's so just due. Like a luck of the Irish thing. Like, it's got to turn. And then, like, those putts do start going in, and then, you know, it starts compounding. And
yeah,
that's what, you know, we can hope for, but we'll see.
We're looking, completely agree. We're looking for a loose ball turnover, just like a random chip in on some. But you know what? We had that at the Open. He did that last year, or is that 2 years ago? Like, he got that chip in at the Open and then couldn't do anything with the momentum. So things could be bad for a while. Things that could be bad for a while. Mr. Liv. Apparently connected with a kidnapping, or, you know, charged with kidnapping on behalf of his state, or being tasked with kidnapping on behalf of his state. I'm no geopolitical expert. Sounds like bad stuff. It sounds like stuff you shouldn't do.
It really does. This is honestly like a UFO sighting or something, where, like,
yeah,
it was like just this headline that was like, Yasser, like,
Yasser,
very deep, like this underground kidnapping ring.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, nope, like, that's crazy talk. Like, no one say anything about it. Like, PGA Tour hasn't covered it at all. Like, there's been nothing about what this means for the PGA and Liv. Like, I don't know. I have no take on it, I guess. Like, if that's true, it's bad. But
yeah, apparently I'm checking the stats. You're completely right. It came out of nowhere and it was very silent. Like, I found out about it through like Premier League Newcastle Twitter. Like, right. None of the golf people were really talking about it. Facing a $74 million lawsuit from the Crown Prince's orders. Like, it's an unbelievable amount of money. One of the quotes here is that he was instructed to carry out a kidnapping which, quote, had malicious intent. Is there a kidnapping carried out that's like benevolent? Like, is there a good, I guess maybe you could have a benevolent kidnapping, but I feel like that's a waste of words.
Yeah, I think the only case there is like someone who's like a drug addict. And you have to like kidnap them and bring them to rehab. That's the only case where there's like a benevolent kidnapping.
I guess you could, like, a weird way to call a rescue mission. But yeah, interesting set of words for some of that. A few other, just, we had a good week of golf news, which is always exciting. Ian Poulter, I'm not an Ian Poulter fan at all. I'll announce my bias from the start. Not sure many people on this side of the pond are in general, but at this point in his career, especially, he took to his Instagram story, which I believe it was Claire Rogers said, like, is something that, you know, her middle school friends would do when they had beef with each other. Yeah. The tweet was, this is just like the Facebook status a kid at my school posted in 2011 that resulted in a mandatory assembly on internet etiquette. It was black screen, bunch of text, just like calling out everyone for being two-faced about the Liz stuff.
Subtweeting everyone.
Yeah. Like, no one was safe. And then he like applauded Rory for kind of backtracking, but was also clearly like throwing it in his face that he's been wrong. Just weird stuff from an adult man.
Yeah, I mean, that is Ian Poulter. Did you see that Rory interview with the, like, whatever, like, it wasn't BBC, but it was some, like, Eurosports
cast? I didn't, I didn't watch any of it. I just got the clips where he, like, mentioned there are some good things, like, talking about playing in Australia, like, kind of just the highlights for Rory.
There was, like, absolutely nothing new there. He wasn't, like, walking back really anything. He was just like, there's obviously things that like are bad about the PGA Tour that the LIV Tour has exposed, but
yeah,
he definitely wasn't like congratulating LIV on doing anything heroic.
No, in
the way that people are like now sort of like trying to put those words in his mouth is kind of bizarre.
Yeah. Anyone ever needs to know about Ian Poulter versus Rory McIlroy is Ian saying that he needs more on the full swing when he was standing in his closet that's the size of my apartment. Like, that's a tough thing to get caught on saying, a camera saying in your second house in England, saying that you just need more in your life.
Yeah.
But I digress on that. Quickly, I'd love to chat a little football as well. A lot of very good football in this last weekend. I'm a diehard Patriots fan, so I don't really have anything to care about at this point, but would love to catch your takes.
Yeah, we can do the NFL playoffs. So I'm a Steelers fan.
Mm.
I will say, like, I wasn't really upset at all about our loss. No. We had no business beating the Bills at any point. It was like kind of cool that we've kept this like winning record going, and Tomlin like is still somehow pulling out like winning seasons, but we're in a weird spot. So like that didn't bother me. I think the Eagles loss was tough.
Yeah.
I think Tampa's good, but that was tough.
I don't think Tampa's good. I think the Eagles had been on a Scottie Scheffler putting trend. Like it is going south and it has been for like 8 weeks. I think, recency bias noted, but I think this week was like an indictment on the wild card setup. There was one good game. Like, I guess the Steelers got it close with the Bills at the end, but you play that.
Not really.
Yeah. I mean, it looked better than it was on the sheet. And like you play that game 100 times, they get blown out 98 of those times. So, and then they keep it close once and win once. Like that was what this weekend left me with. It's like, maybe we just need a 4-5 game. Maybe we just don't need to do it at all. Like it feels like it needs a complete reshuffle, especially if one of them is going to be on Peacock. Like, I don't need any of this.
Yeah. Well, that made no sense. I mean, that's obviously, you know, coming from the golf world, like the worst thing about the golf world is bringing Peacock now to football too. At least the Lions game was sweet. Lions Rams, the whole storyline of like their first playoff win in whatever it was, like 35 years.
A long time.
I'm probably now rooting for them, honestly. Like,
Die I don't know who Lions else
I fan. Care to root for. So, yeah, let's go Lions.
Yeah, I'm all in on Detroit.
Where are you with Belichick? And now.
So, this is tough. I love Gerard Mayo. I'm a little conflicted on them staying in house. Like, I kind of wanted, like, I grew up on the Patriot way. I believe in the Patriot way. But if you don't have Tom Brady or Bill Belichick, and just like I won't say bad words about Mr. Kraft, but a different Mr. Kraft. Like, what is the Patriot way? So, like, I kind of wish they had gone completely out of the family. Yeah. From all accounts, like, Gerard Mayo was just the on-field Belichick during his playing career. People love him, like, nothing but respect for him, and I think he's going to do very well. I just was hopeful that they would go off script and change it up a little bit, because I could see this just repeating for another 3 years. But really, really excited about Mayo. People really like him. So,
yeah,
tough to lose, Bill. I'm obviously, shout out Wesleyan University, brother Bill, Kai Sai, but it was time. I don't know if he even wants another head coaching job. That dude is checked the F out, it seems. But I also think he's like an egomaniac, so he'll take one. But
I think he's going somewhere.
I think he is too. I feel bad for the fan base wherever he ends up.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Brady did the same thing, but like, people just can't ride out and on into the sunset anymore. Like,
no,
they've got to go sort of like tarnish their legacy somewhere and then quit.
Yeah. It's so weird. Like, you have the dichotomy of Saban and Belichick are like very similar guys. Maybe it's like a Northeast versus like Appalachia and Southeast and then versus West Coast thing. Like, I'm thinking about just like Roy Williams versus Coach K, like Coastal versus, this is a, I'm going way macro and way meta here, but maybe people from the coast just like can't take it easy. Like, Nick Saban was just like, I'm done. I don't need to do this anymore. I'm not going to tell anybody until like 8 p.m. on a Tuesday. Like, whatever. Who cares? Roy Williams, like, just decided one day he was done. Coach K's got to do this whole tour. Tom's got to play more football. Bill's got to try and go for the wins record. Like, at lower quality performance just for,
yeah,
for, I don't know, for what.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Who do you have? Who do you like now, at least for the Super Bowl?
I think it's like Niners walkthrough.
Yeah,
I'm like, if the Ravens look good this weekend, I think they should get it done. But I realistically, it'll be whoever comes out of Buffalo, like, which, and it's gonna suck. Like, somebody's gonna figure it out in that game and hammer the Ravens.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Niners, yeah, like, they should easily beat everyone. I can't really decide where I'm at with the Chiefs. I kind of think they suck, but I think Patrick Mahomes could do whatever Patrick Mahomes wants to do. So, like, there's always that. But I hate the Ravens, so I hope it's not them.
All right. See, I'm all in, like, I want Baltimore and Detroit on the come up. This is, again, I got bigger reasons to think about those cities. That'd be cool. But yeah, I don't think anybody's touching the Niners. Speaking of the West Coast swing, we'll quickly look at the Amex before kicking it to this Lulu interview. We're going to do a little bit of a different, preview this week. We'll just give you an overall sense of the odds and who's in town, but then give you our two picks to win rather than a winner, top 10, top 20. We're workshopping a few partnerships for setting up some season-long tournaments and events on a weekly basis. And so stay tuned for that space. But just looking at the field, it's a surprisingly good field for the start of the West Coast swing. To see Scheffler, Schauffele, Cantlay, and M, JT all kicking off is exciting. And it's been a really good part of the start of the year, the strength of the field so far. But what are your early thoughts on who you like, predictions, anything there?
Yeah, it is interesting, right? I mean, I think Xander and Cantlay just do everything together, right? Like, I think they're a team, so I think it's not surprising to see them together. But I'm kind of looking just through this from like a world ranking lens, where it's like, Scotty, Xander, Patrick, Wyndham, kind of at the top of the ranking sheet. Wyndham's pretty far down, I think, in the odds, because I think he kind of sucks now.
Yeah, he's not he's trying to get that guaranteed cash because of how he's playing.
Yeah. So I don't know. You know, I love Tom Kim. I think Jason Day, Team Malbin, feels like he should do something cool if he's going to make a whole thing out of this. So yeah, those are a couple names that are poking out to me.
Yeah, I was also looking at Mr. Day. It does seem like he's feeling very healthy and playing better. You mentioned Mr. Patrick Cantlay. Like, I love the finance angle. He just switched over to private equity. He did his 2 years in IB. Okay. I think he's ripe to win the Amex, take advantage of all those points, and you know, really set up his 30s for success.
Yeah, this is super on brand for him.
Yeah. This is going to be really, he just moved, you know, this is untrue, but you know, it's West Coast swing. He just got it out of New York, going SF for the private side. I think this is really looking up for him. I think he's really going to take off in his 30s. He just settled down. You know, he has more time for the family now that he's changed up his life like this. So his sponsors are going to be very happy when he wins this week. More of a sleeper pick, not really, because he's been playing very well. JT Poston, the postman, really really impressed with the 30-31 last Sunday. And I think I get similar vibes from PGA Tour West. So looking for a big week out of him.
Like all of this stuff on Twitter where like JT Poston is like the smart money, like all of the sharp money sort of says that he have like way better odds than he does.
Yeah.
So you're taking Cantlay at plus 1,000 and JT Poston at plus 2,800.
Yeah, love that.
Is what we have right now. I was going to try to pick a long shot. So my favorite's going to be Tom Kim, my guy, plus 2,500.
Okay. I like that.
And then I was just kind of looking through the odds sheet here. We're just going to honestly pick whoever speaks to me. Let's do, no, I don't like that. All right, we're gonna say Nick Taylor.
Okay, keeping Canadians. Yeah, the Canadians played pretty well at the Sony. I would have liked for one of them to really challenge or get a win with how many of them were in the field, but I like that Nick Taylor pick. And I like the Canadians for the first half of this season, honestly.
Yeah, and he's plus 10,000. So
okay, there you go. Perfect. Let's hope for a winner there and see some real big things happen in Q1. We will kick it now to the interview with Lulu Altman. Very excited to hear it on my side and know that you'll enjoy it as well, as she's one of our best partners. So please enjoy.
Could be close. This could be really close.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We are extremely excited today to have on the show Lulu Altman. Lulu, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Where are you joining us from today?
I am in South Florida right now.
South Florida.
Enjoying the Florida winter.
South Beach?
Miami, yes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, very jealous.
It was great winter time at the beach yesterday. It was not too bad looking at the New York weather.
Definitely better than where Billy is. It's not, I'm in San Francisco, so it could be a little bit worse. But yeah, for January, I would still prefer South Beach.
Mm-hmm. A whopping 3 inches of snow here, and it's like all hell broke loose. So
sorry, Billy.
All right, well, cool. So Lulu, we go way back now. We've known you for about a year. We met actually like last year this time, leading up to the PGA Show in Orlando. But for those who don't know you, can you give us just like a quick backstory, sort of who you are, where you come from, what do you do, and kind of like we'll sort of dive into golf from there. But yeah, that'd be great if you could just tell us your story.
Yeah. So, well, my name is Luisa Altman. Originally from Brazil. I started playing when I was 9. My dad got into golf, and I moved to the U.S. At 15, first to Orlando for high school. Went to school at University of Miami. For a short semester. Yeah. I always wanted to turn pro right after high school, but they offered me to graduate early and go there for a semester. So it worked out really well. Graduated early, played for the team, and then made it on the Ladies European Tour. So I've been playing Ladies European Tour since 2018. Lived in Asia in the meantime for a TV show. And now I'm back in the US and just focusing on US events.
Amazing. And can you tell us, like, the Ladies European Tour, for those who don't know, kind of like, what's the format? How does that fit into, like, what is the competitive golf schedule there? Both sort of when you joined and then, like, today, like, how often are you playing competitively and what does that look like?
Yeah, so the Ladies European Tour is equivalent for the DP Tour for the men. But we don't really spend a lot of time in Europe. Like, the schedule is all over. Like, it starts in Australia, then South Africa, then Morocco. We go to Asia, and then summertime in Europe, which is fantastic. But the season usually goes from, I want to say, like, April till October.
So it sounds a lot like the Live Tour.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's great. I get a lot of downtime as well to be at home and practice and also do some events local.
Billy, I'm going to pause quickly. Did you lower your volume?
No.
Can you turn your volume up?
Yeah.
All right.
How's cool. That?
He was pretty quiet for me. I don't know about you, Lulu.
Speak up.
This is just going to be an
All right. Go for it.
I was going to ask, what was your most favorite place that you traveled to while on the European Tour, and what was, like, the coolest course that you played?
Oof. All right. Coolest place, Thailand. Just fantastic experience. It's just different than anywhere else that you'll ever go to. But most beautiful place, like, golf course-wise, Evian in France.
Yeah.
There's this one par three that just overlooks the water, and it's like the slope is like 40 yards down. And I'm hitting a sand wedge from like 170 yards, feeling like a beast. But it's incredible. Like, the views are amazing. You don't get one flat shot since it's so, like, slopey next to the mountain. So it's breathtaking views. Like, you cannot even focus on golf. You're just looking at the at the views. But those are my two favorite.
Yeah. You kind of live the dream where it's like you get to basically travel to play golf for a living, which, like, is, I think, everyone's dream. But I guess, like, could you tell us what that schedule looked like? Like, I'm sure it was also exhausting, and I'm kind of curious how you've sort of found a way to balance that now as you've gotten both, like, a little bit older and you're working on other things, but, like, how exhausting was that schedule, and now what does that look like for you these days?
Yeah, so Andrew, actually, it's a great point, because everybody that I meet and I say I play professional golf on the European Tour, they're like, oh, you're living the life, this is amazing. Yeah. When in fact, we're going from airport to hotel to golf course, and it's a 2 to 3 day practice round, then you play for 4 days, and that Sunday night when it's over, you're on the plane again to the next tournament. So you don't really get too much of a downside to actually explore the city and enjoy. Of course, you get a little bit, but it's not a vacation. You're practicing, you're resting. It's tiring in a way that you're also getting different beds, different food every week, and then a lot of time change. I would usually go 3 weeks in a row. That was my cutoff, like 3 to 4 weeks before heading back home. Everybody's, like, body changes in that way. Some people can play 7 tournaments in a row. Some people can only play 3 and need that week rest. For me, it was 3 to 4, depending on that time change.
Yeah.
If that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. I can't do, like, a 1 hour time zone flight these days. So I can't, like, back and forth across the world.
Getting old.
I know. So what does that mean for you now in terms of, like, what is your goals? I mean, I imagine at one point you were like, I want to, you know, be the best in the world, or, like, where's your ambition at? And just like sort of how do you think about your relationship with golf these days?
Yeah, so I actually, once I left University of Miami, I went to, I always wanted to get my degree. So I went to Penn State online. I got a full online program, business finance. Then I did a specialization at Wharton. And I mean, I still love golf. Golf is going to be my life, no matter what I do. But I want to implement finance into that golf world. So I've been doing I want to continue playing, but not as much as it was the last 5-4 years. So instead of playing all these events for like 3-4 weeks in a row, I'm going to choose which ones I actually want to play, which ones are worth the time for me. But I've been playing a lot of pro-ams and doing a lot of appearances, which is great. Is they're usually 1 to 2 day events and locally. And I get to meet incredible people. It's a lot to do like in the business world. So get to implement that and then focus on the US now.
Yeah.
It's a different pace, of course, but it's great to just explore the different opportunities out there related to business and golf.
Yeah, for programs, it sounds like so much fun too, because obviously a lot of those are like for charities or you're working with like a bunch of cool organizations. Like, can you talk about sort of the people, maybe not specifically, but like the groups that you get to work with and how that's been like particularly rewarding for you sort of on the back end of like a super competitive engagement environment versus something that's a little bit both more relaxed and has this totally other component to it.
Mm-hmm. So for sure, doing tournaments and then also doing the pro-ams and fundraisers, it's a lot of fun. It's a very different style, of course. Like when you're playing a tournament, it's madness. Like it's just you. But playing pro-ams, you're a team. So you're not only just thinking about yourself, but you have that team atmosphere where everybody's hyping each other up. And I get to meet incredible people, especially in charity events and fundraisers, to learn about everything that they've been through. If it's like a military event or anything of that sort, just learning about their life and their experience and bringing golf together with that, it's fantastic.
That's awesome. Well, I know that when I had the pleasure of meeting Lulu and you were like driving up from Atlanta, you pit stopped here, we got around it and went up to like Michigan, I think.
Yeah.
Right up in Wisconsin. So I mean, I don't know how you juggle it all even now with just like popping around, just getting it in at these tournaments and associations that you're involved with. So it's a grind from what you've told me before. So it's rather impressive.
Yeah,
it's a grind, but golf, you guys know, golf is golf. Like, it's the most fun sport out there, to be honest. And you can play at any age. You can play anytime. It brings everybody together. So you got to have the passion if you're going to do it professionally. That's like the most important thing. Don't ever let that passion run away from you. But it's a fun sport for sure.
Yeah, I think we both agree. What about now? Like, can you tell us like what events you have circled for this year, and both like I guess competitively or on the more like pro-am casual side? Like, what are you looking forward to in the world of golf, sort of going forward?
For sure. So golf season really doesn't start like March on.
Yeah.
March, April, even for the pro-ams, since someone up there is under snow. Must understand.
Yeah.
But there's a couple down here in Florida. I have a few scheduled for the next couple of weeks. Just pro-ams, but tournaments I have only at the end of February and then a couple in March. And April on, it really kicks off. But for now, just low-key practicing, getting back into that practice schedule and getting ready for the season. But nothing until March, April.
Do you have any, I guess for pro-ams, is there any like dream pro or celebrity that you would ever play with in one of these tournaments?
Oof. Like golf celebrities or just any sport or?
Definitely any sport, any celebrity.
I think any human's fair game here.
Okay. All right. I mean, if we're going to talk about golf celebrity, everybody wants to play with Tiger. I would love to have a like 18 holes round with him. That's one heck of an experience. Athlete, Tom Brady, love to play with him.
Well,
that would be fun.
I feel like he's in you could find him out there.
I don't know. That would be a fun round of golf. But Tiger and Tom Brady, those are the top two.
Perfect. All right, and Lulu, like in terms of other stuff that you're involved with, obviously, like we met talking about Banty and sort of where we're headed, bringing this like hopefully very social, very engaging, and fun experience to what has historically been like a very complicated sport in terms of both like who has access and the general vibes around it, but like. For you, what has that been like in terms of opening up the sport, getting people more access? And like, how has that for you translated into like why you're excited about Banty?
So for the listeners, I first heard about Banty at the PGA show. And I was actually, I told Billy I was rushing out, so I didn't get a chance to actually see what Banty was. But then yeah. I Googled and I asked my manager to reach out. I thought it was the coolest app, coolest idea out there in golf. Like I'm always like playing these pro-ams or playing with my friends. And then I go and I'm like, hey, look, I made like 5 birdies in a row today and I have to tell my one friend and that's it. You know, but putting it out in a platform where everybody can see, everybody can share its pictures. It's you make like you see your friend group, what they're up to today, where they played. It's about bringing that golf community together. And that's something that was missing for sure. And yeah. You guys did it.
We're trying.
Yeah, on our way. I think we have a long way to go, but it was super cool that you were excited about it from the very beginning. And I know like I'm super excited still for where it can go. And I think it'll be awesome to sort of have you alongside for the ride.
Absolutely. And once season picks back up, I'll be posting a lot more about my rounds and everything that I'm up to. But I still see my friends out there and it's amazing to get that experience from one platform.
Well, where can the listeners find you on Banty? What's your username?
It's Lulu Altman. And Instagram, everything is just Lulu Altman. Very simple.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, everyone go follow Lulu on Banty and on Instagram. And yeah, we'll look forward to seeing some more posts from you. I mean, you're in the warm weather now, so you have no excuse, but
yeah, no excuse.
Here in the near future, we'll see what everyone's up to on the app.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys. Thanks for making this amazing app where it's the most fun app out there.
I'm going to watch. Boomerang, a tank, come around, round, wanna hit the top.
Ooh, the lolly, lolly.
Chip, puck, you know what's the big whoop when I play my game and then I make my mama proud.
Woo. Smash, bang, you gotta hit the ball far, then the crowd goes, woo. Then you hear the,
ooh, the lolly, lolly.
Tweet, tweet. I want my birdies all day long, let the bogeys go and say, hey.
Ooh, the lolly, lolly.
Hey. You wanna play with the pros now?
Hey.
You gotta hit it in the hole now?
Hey.
You wanna reach that top, yeah?
Hey.
You gotta give it up.